Well, take your Bible, please, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, choir. And thank you, James, for the music this morning. Appreciate that very much. Nehemiah chapter 4. Today we're going to go back to the Old Testament, and we'll continue the series that we started. We took a break last week and talked about something different, but we'll continue the series today that we've been in, and we've been talking about setbacks and what causes setbacks in our Christian walk, so we'll look at another one of those things today. The title of today's message is How Can I Handle Discouragement? And I'll just tell you, you can't. You can't handle it on your own, but with the Lord, you know, we can, and we can make it through those times of discouragements in our lives. What I want to do is look at one of the great stories of the Bible, and that is found in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And what I want to do is share with you some principles here in rebuilding and principles that will help us as we deal with setbacks in our lives. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 is where I want to begin, and so we'll begin there this morning. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry. And so Nehemiah is talking about what's going on here, what's happening. And so he's expressing his emotions about what's going on. And then we pick it up in verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half of its height. For the people had a mind to work. That happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and Amorites, and Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come in their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times. That means that they told them over and over again. That's what the 10 times, it was just an expression for saying something over and over again. From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your word, and I just pray today that you'd lead us in this time of worship today. We pray that you'd open our hearts and eyes and minds and ears to what you want to say to us today. Thank you again for this day, and thank you for each one that's here. In your name we pray. Amen. You never probably heard of this man, but I want to talk to you about the case of the unluckiest man who ever lived in the state of New York. The man's name was Lawrence. He lived in New York City. The LA Times did a piece on him, and they gave him this, or they named him, the unluckiest man who ever lived in New York City. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened to Lawrence. He was nearly electrocuted, to his death in 1984 on a construction job that he worked on. He laid in a coma for weeks after that accident on the job site. His lawyers were filing for his liability claim. He had three lawyers working on his case During the time of working on this liability case, one of them was, he was disbarred from the Bar Association, so he couldn't practice law anymore. And the other two lawyers died while he was working on his case. Lawrence's wife, during this time, ran off with her lawyer. So that happened. He lost his car in an accident. He was involved in an automobile crash. And so they came and towed away the car. And after the cops had written up the report, Lawrence was standing there. And while he was standing there, two guys came up and robbed him. The insurance company fought to cut off his workers' compensation claim during this time, his benefits. And then what happened after that was that his landlord evicted him from where he lived. He suffered from depression, and you can understand that. He took 42 pills a day for heart and liver ailments. And so this how he got the title. This is how he got the title, the unluckiest man in New York City. However, here's what happened. A city councilman in New York City felt sorry for him. And he had heard about all this stuff that happened to Lawrence, and so he took up his cause, and he went to bat for him, and he started working to try to help him. And then also what happened was the neighbors around him pitched in, and they started, you know, trying to help him. So after all this, you know, came about and people started helping him, and he was interviewed by this writer from the LA Times who wrote this article. They asked him in closing, and in summary of this article, they asked him, they said, "Lawrence, how would you sum up your life?" He said this, "There is always hope." And folks, I want you to know there's hope. You know, depression and discouragement is something that comes to us all. And really, depression is something that we all battle no matter who we are, where we are in life. And so depression can be a tool in our spiritual life that Satan uses. And probably in your spiritual life, he's going to use that tool of depression and discouragement more than any other tool. Now, we talked about depression a few weeks ago. This morning, we're talking about discouragement. And the only difference is this, is that depression is deeper, it lasts longer, and there's more effects to it. Now, discouragement can lead to depression. So this is the onset of it, and we'll look at it that way. And we'll see what's going on here in this story. And what I want to do is share with you some principles. Now, what we know in life is this. We know certainly that life is not easy, life is hard, and we understand that. Nehemiah came to speak to the people of Israel during a very hard time, very difficult time. Nehemiah was the prophet of the healer, really, of broken dreams. He was the restorer of broken hearts in the time that he ministered. For almost 100 years, the walls around Jerusalem had been in debris. They had been torn down. In 586, when the Babylonians came to Israel, they took the nation of Israel, the southern kingdom, into captivity, and those that remained of the northern kingdom were taken into captivity in Babylon. They stayed in Babylon for 70 years. The Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah, though, that what happened was God started putting it on Nehemiah's heart to go back to Israel, to the land of Israel, and to rebuild the walls. And that is what he did. He went to the Persian king who was in control at that time because what had happened was the Persian Empire had overtaken the Babylonian Empire at this time in the history of the Bible. And so you find who was king at that time, the king of Persia at that time, was the stepson of a Bible character that you know. You remember Queen Esther in the Bible, and you know there's a lot written about Queen Esther in the Bible. Well, this king of the Persian Empire at this time was her stepson. God had put it on Nehemiah's heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. So he talked to this king, King Artaxerxes, and the king gave him permission to go back and rebuild the wall. And when he decided this is what he was going to do, then what he found was a lot of opposition. He found a lot of challenges. He found a lot of conflict in his life to do what he needed to do. They tell us that discouragement is a deep, dark tunnel. The reason that that tunnel can get very dark and the reason that it can be very difficult to deal with discouragement at times is because, you know, it comes very frequently to us. And what we know about this discouragement is this, and the reason that it is so deadly is because it is universal. That means we all have to deal with it. You go through the Bible, and one of the things I did this week was to go through the Bible and just look up some Bible characters who dealt with, you know, discouragement in their lives. And there are many of them. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Another reason that discouragement can be so deadly in our spiritual life is because it is the tool that Satan uses so often to discourage us, to cause us to throw up our hands and to quit. Well, that's what he wanted to do with Nehemiah. He wanted Nehemiah to quit. He didn't want the walls around Jerusalem to be rebuilt. And so that's why it is so deadly. It can lead us to a place of wanting just to give up and to quit. Another reason I think that it's so deadly is because what happens here is that it is reoccurring so often. I mean, it can happen when we can be on a mountaintop and then the next second, bang, something happens that sets us back, that discourages us. And we think, well, what's the use? Well, see, that's how Satan works. And we need to understand that in the Christian life, we are in a battle. And we're in a spiritual battle. And one of the things that Satan tries to do in this battle that we're in is to discourage us, for us to throw up our hands and say, you know, what's the use? Another reason that discouragement can be so deadly is that it is contagious. It really is. You see, if you get discouraged, then it's going to discourage someone else, and then, you know, someone else will get discouraged. And so that's simply how it works, and that's what Satan knows. So as we look at this today, what I want to do is share with you some principles about discouragement. Now, there are four setbacks that I want to talk about. What caused this discouragement in the life of Judah here? Now, Nehemiah had gone back. He's trying to rally the people. He wants them to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Now, in the previous book in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezra, what we learn from Ezra is that he led the rebuilding project in rebuilding the temple. So the temple in Jerusalem has been rebuilt. So now what they needed for the security of the city was to rebuild the wall. And so what Nehemiah found among his workers was this, that they were very discouraged. And so the Bible gives us some principles here to follow that gives us some insight on their discouragement. What discouraged them? Well, they in verse 10, the Bible says that the strength of the laborers is failing. In other words, they were very fatigued. And that causes, you know, discouragement at times. It causes setbacks at times. In other words, what was going on here is this, that this project of rebuilding the wall was going to take longer than what they anticipated. And so fatigue had set in, and they were very, fatigued with the situation here, so that was going on. I found this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 25 that speaks this principle. And in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 18, the Bible tells us that the Amalekites attacked Israel when they were tired. And so we find out, you know, when we get fatigued in the spiritual battle, and in our Christian life, you know, when we get feeling fatigued, then that's when Satan is going to come. And that's when he's going to attack to try to discourage us and to get us detoured from what God wants us to do. Then the second reason was frustration. You see this in verse 10 again. The Bible says what led to their discouragement was that there was so much rubbish that they had to deal with the rubbish. Now, you need to understand in rebuilding the wall, the debris of what the Babylonians has done, had done when they came in and tore down the wall, all that debris was still there around the walls, the city of Jerusalem. And so what they had to do was to go in and they had to clear up all this rubbish, and the Bible tells us here that they were halfway through the project, and when they got halfway through the project of rebuilding the wall, that the rubble and rubbish were so deep that they really got frustrated with what they wanted to do. It got in their way. So what Nehemiah said is this. They said, what you've got to do is get rid of the rubbish. You've got to clear out all the rubbish. Now, here's the spiritual question that I want to talk about now. What is the rubbish in your life and my life that we need to deal with? What is that rubbish in our life that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do? What is that rubbish in our life that trips us up? What is that rubbish in our life that causes that temptation? What is that rubbish in our life that leads us to disobedience? What is that rubbish in my life that creates that bad attitude, in my heart? And so the spiritual principle here, I think, speaks of the rubbish that we've got to deal with. Now, here's what we got to do with the rubbish. We got to talk to God about it. And we got to tell God, what the situation is. He knows, but we've got to be very honest with Him. Now, what is the rubbish in my life or your life? Well, rubbish is just a part of life. I mean, it comes. I think we have to deal with the rubbish in the Bible. You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible calls that confession. In other words, just be honest with God. Whatever it is in my life that's keeping me from being who I need to be with God and my walk with Him, my spiritual life, then I need to confess that. And I need to deal with it. And I just need to talk to Him about it. And then, another thing about the rubbish is this. We don't always recognize what the rubbish is in our own lives. But other people do. And that's the amazing thing about that. Sometimes we're blinded to it. Spiritually, we're blinded to it. And we're blinded to it, I think, in our own way. But other people, they can see it and they know. But then another thought I had there was this. If we don't deal with it, then here's what happens. It will eventually take over your life. And so what happens is it leads to more discouragement. And it leads us deeper into that hole. And we get deeper into that tunnel and we think, how in the world am I going to pull out of this? And how can I get this thing together? Because the rubbish just keeps building up and it's building up and it's building up and we don't deal with it. And so what Nehemiah did was this. He said, look, what we've got to do if we're going to finish this work, we've got to get rid of this rubbish. And so that's exactly what they did. So that's how they dealt with the frustration. Now, what happened was, it became more complicated than what they thought. And so they got through it. Psalm 25, verse 16 tells us, what we can do with the rubbish in our life is just to take it to God and let Him have it. And then the third reason that they really got into this discouragement was because of failure. The Bible tells us again in verse 10 here, what they said was, we are not able to build the wall. So you see, on the heels of fatigue and frustration, on the heels of that soon comes failure. How we deal with failure in life really is going to determine pretty much how we end our life. What I want for you, what I want for me, what I want for all of us here today is I want all of us to finish well. And I want all of us to finish in the place where God wants us to finish, but also know this, that failure in our lives can cause setback, and if we don't deal with the failure in the right way, then what happens is we give up and we quit. And we don't finish, and we don't cross the finish line in the way that God wants us to. And so they had this sense of failure in that they were saying, you know, we can't do this. We simply cannot do it. And then the fourth thing that you see here that contributed to their discouragement was fear. And what was happening was this, that the opposition against them was growing stronger. And so they feared. I think if we all would be honest, we all probably have a secret fear. Now, I don't know what your secret fear is. I know what mine is, and I know it gives me problems at times. But you know, the Bible speaks a lot of fear. But again, you know, how the Bible counters that, though, is to say, you know, we have all those fear nots in the Bible. And the reason we don't have to fear is because we can trust God and put our faith in God and look to Him. But I'm asking you this morning, what is that secret fear in your life? What is that secret fear in your life that's causing you the discouragement from time to time to time? I mean, it is reoccurring. And so this is another thing that happens in this process of trying to deal with discouragement in the spiritual battle that we're in. Fear can, you know, it can cause a lot of problems. So if we can put our finger on what's causing that fear, then, you know, we'll be on the road to recover. Now, the second point that I want to talk about today is this. What should we do when we feel like giving up? What do we see here from Nehemiah? Now, these folks here in Judah, what they wanted to do, they wanted to give up. I mean, they were ready to quit. Now, if you are familiar with the story, you know this. They didn't give up and they didn't quit. The Bible tells us in 52 days, in record time, you know what they did? They rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. So how was it that they were able to get through this setback? How did they regain their strength? How did they regain their focus? How did they regain their goal in life to get to where they wanted to be? How did they do that? Well, we see the principle here. And the principle is seen in the life of Nehemiah. And what he did here in verse 13, first of all, he did three things. First of all is this. If we regain our focus and we get on the right track again, then here's a principle that's going to help us with our discouragement. You know what it is? We've got to reorganize our lives. What Nehemiah did here in verse 13 was this. He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, half of you are going to hold the weapons, and half of you are going to work. And so what he decided to do was this. You know, they didn't quit doing what they were doing. But what they decided to do was to do it in a different way. And a lot of times when discouragement has a hold on us and we find ourselves in that deep cave of discouragement, then we need to do what Nehemiah did. I mean, we need to reorganize some things. And this morning I'm speaking spiritually. You know, we need to reorganize our commitment to God, our dedication to Him, our faithfulness to Him. In other words, what is the priority of my life? What do I need to reorganize to get back on life, to get back on track? And so that's what he did. A second thing he did in verse 14, you see it there, he said this. He said, what we need to do is to remember the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is found in the book of Samuel. And speaking of Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, and here's what it says. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so when I find discouragement coming my way, and I'm dealing with discouragement in my life, that's one of the verses I always look at. That David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? How do we remember the Lord? Well, there's three ways we do that. One way we do that is that we remember God's goodness to us. You look at your past life, you look at your history, so remember God's goodness to us in the past. We remember God's closeness to us in the present. In other words, what is God doing in your life today? What difference has God made in your life this past week? And so that's one way we remember the Lord. And then another way we encourage ourselves in the Lord and remember the Lord is that we remember His power for the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know He holds the future. We know the promises of God. And so He helps us in those ways. And so when David encouraged himself in the Lord, what he was doing is doing exactly what Nehemiah said here. We need to remember the Lord. We think about God's character, His faithfulness, His love, His grace, His forgiveness. We think about God's character. We just think about, you know, who He is and what He's done. We get into the Word. We go to the Word. And then, the very first thing we need to do is what Nehemiah did. And that's one of the great lessons we learn here. The first thing we need to do is pray. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's exactly what he did. Now, number three, we need to do this. We need to resist the discouragement. It'd been very easy for these folks to give up. These different nations that's mentioned here, the Arabs, he talks about the others that surrounded Jerusalem here. They were surrounded on the north. That's where Sanballat was. Tobiah was in the east. You had another group to the west. You had another group to the south. And they all surrounded Jerusalem. And so it had been very easy to look at the situation and say, what's the use? Let's just give up. But you know what they had to do? They had to resist the discouragement. Can I put it bluntly? Some people may be going through hell this morning. Your circumstance may be so difficult, and you're so deep in that discouragement, you think, what's the use? Do what these folks do. Fight through it. You've got to battle through it. Whatever the battle is, it's worth it. It's worth it to fight the battle. It's worth it to hold on to it. It's worth it not to give up. And so that's what you see here. They had to fight through this. I mean, it wasn't easy for them. Discouragement really is. I mean, it is a choice. They had to make the choice here if they were going to give in to the discouragement or keep going or keep working through it. They didn't want to leave the job unfinished. Now, spiritually, let me ask you this. What is unfinished in your life? The spiritual way to say that is this. The biblical truth here is this. What unfinished business with God do you have in your life that you need to finish? See, that'd be the way to say it. And that is one of the great lessons, I think, that we see in this story here. What do I need to do business with God about? Is it an attitude? Is it an area of disobedience? Is it an area of forgiveness? Is it an area of a secret sin? Is it a temptation? What business do I have unfinished in my life that I need to deal with God about? Now, think about it this way. Let's bring this to conclusion. Do you need encouragement right now? Think about this. Do what Nehemiah did. Cry out to God. Continue in the work that God's given you to do. Continue in the Christian life. Continue praying. Continue reading the Bible. You know, continue doing all that. That's what they did. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. What Nehemiah had to do, too, was to concentrate on the big picture. he had to stay committed to the long haul and what God wanted to do here. And what he did was this, he joined himself together with the people that could help him. Do you understand why we have church? We have church because we need each other. You know what church does? Church helps us to see the big picture. Church brings us together with people that will pray with us. It brings us together with people who are concerned. People that love us. People that will help us in those times of discouragement. But I think also another thing here that I got from this is that we just need to claim the encouragement of God's promises. Just keep on going. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Isaiah said it this way, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. Great verses of encouragement to us. And then one of the best things we can do is this. If you need encouragement today, one of the best things you can do is find somebody else who needs encouragement and help them carry the load this morning. You'd be amazed what that would do. You know what that does? That takes the focus off of me. It takes the focus off some of my stuff to put it on another situation to say, I can help and I'll do what I can do. And you would be amazed what that would do to discouragement when we do something like that. There's always someone who can needs that helping hand. And there's always someone who needs that word of encouragement. And that's what we need to do. So do you need encouragement this morning? What I would say is this. Just take it to the Lord. Talk to Him about it. Pour your heart out to God. Because He can handle it. And I'll tell you this. He's not going to let you down. God's not going to disappoint you. He'll see you through it. He will always be there for you. If I have some rubbish in my life, talk to Him about it. That's what I do. Just talk to Him about it. I'll talk to Him about that rubbish. Those secret sins that I have in my life, I'll talk to Him about that. Those secret fears, those things that really, bother me, I'll talk to Him about that. And that's what I'm saying today. Just cry out to God, take it to Him, and let Him handle it. Okay? Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we just thank You today for this great story in the Bible. And what a great story this is. Lord, when we think about Nehemiah, and we think about the job that he was given here, and for them to be able to finish this job in 52 days, it's just the only way they could do that is with You. And Father, today we know that discouragement comes our way. It's something that we all deal with. Father, today I pray for those who are struggling in the battle of discouragement and some area of their spiritual life today. I pray that You'd help them. I pray that they would do what Nehemiah did, just turn it all over to You and cry out to You and say, Lord, here it is. Father, there are many things that we can do to battle through this discouragement that we've talked about today. Prayer certainly is the first thing that we should do. To turn to You is the thing that we should do. We should remember You and just remember Your goodness. Remember what You're doing in the present. Remember what You're doing and going to do in the future for us. And Lord, we do that. But Lord, there's another practical thing we can do. That is, we can help other people. And Father, it could be this week that there's someone that we can help, that there's someone that we can encourage. And I pray that You'd use us to do that this week. As the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And Father, that's what we want to do this morning. We just want to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we thank You for the encouragement that we find in You. Father, I pray for those who are in the battle And Lord, it seems like the place is this deep, the place is dark. Lord, help them to not to give up. Help them to continue on and to fight the battle. And Lord, through you, we can find the victory. How can we handle depression? Well, we can't handle it on our own. How can we handle discouragement? We can't handle it on our own. We need help and we need people. And I pray that we'd look to you to help us today. In your name we pray. Amen.